I Eat Green with Bhavani, Wednesdays at 5 p.m. on the Progressive Radio Network.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another beautiful Wednesday on the Progressive Radio Network. You're listening to Bhavani at I Eat Green, and I'm here with you for the next hour. And I have a guest with me, Andrea Beeman, who's a natural food chef, a fellow natural food chef. It's always fun to have someone on that shares my passion. And I'll be introducing her on a little bit later in the show. But as always, I want to start off by talking to you about what went on with me this week and what's going on. Of course, we all survived Hurricane Irene, which was not as bad as they all said it would be. But out on Long Island where I live, there were a lot of downed trees. And I only got my electricity back yesterday. We were without electricity for many days and, couldn't get out of my street. There were two trees down crossing my block. And we only lost a few branches, but my garden survived. I lost a lot of tomato plants on the ground. So for my cooking class tomorrow, we will be highlighting green gazpacho to use up all those green tomatoes. I do have a cooking class tomorrow, and there's still room if anyone is interested. It's a farm-to-table cooking class. We will harvest some vegetables from the garden and then go into the kitchen and cook and then sit outside in the garden and eat under the stars. So it might be one of the last nights. It's already starting to become fall weather. It's getting cold in the evening. So it's supposed to be beautiful tomorrow night. So if you can join us, give me a call or send me an email, Bhavani at IEGreen or 516-238-3616. And I'd love to include you. In addition to the hurricane, I actually had to rush back from Washington, D.C. to prepare for it because I was down there with Bill McKibben and hundreds of other people participating in the largest civil disobedience act to take place in this country to protest the Keystone Pipeline that they are planning on building from Alberta, Canada, all the way down to the Gulf of Mexico. And there's no such thing as a non-leaking pipeline. It does leak. It does get into the groundwater. It does release greenhouse gas emissions into the environment. And it is a bad decision. And as an Obama supporter, I remember when he was campaigning, he announced to all of his supporters that he was going to be a different kind of president. He was the president that was going to support the environment, that was going to care about the environment. He said that if when he gets to Washington, he forgets that he's going to depend and count on all of us to remind him. So that's what we were doing. We were wearing Obama buttons, and we were reminding President Obama that his commitment to the environment must come before his commitment to corporate America, to people's pockets. And so, hopefully he'll get the message and make the right decision. It's not one of these things that goes back to Congress. It's really up to him solely, as to whether or not he's going to approve this pipeline. And so the hope is that he will not. So if any of you are listening and have the inclination to go join the movement, as Bill McKibben said, just go and register on the website tarsandsaction.org. And you can register for this action. And it was really one of the most important things I think I've done in my life. It really felt great to be there with other people. I've gone to Washington so many times, for women's rights, for abortion rights, for peace marches, for you name it. I mean, I've certainly made many trips down there, participated in many protests, the Iraq War. I did that actually in New York City, big gathering protest. But I never actually went so far to disobey the authorities and get myself arrested. And it was empowering. And, it felt good to put, to really stand behind something that you feel is important. So I encourage any of you who feel that way to join in. Lots of announcements. One thing that's going on that I really want to support and encourage any of you that are foodies out there who are in the New York area to purchase a ticket to Just Food, their annual fundraising campaign. They have an annual tasting. It's an event celebrating locally grown food. It's called Let Us Eat Local. And Just Food, as you know, if you've listened, I've had some guests on from Just Food before. They're a great organization that brings food to people in need, you know, and helps educate people about eating locally, sustainably, healthy, and also addresses food access, which, as we know, is one of the biggest problems in underserved communities, trying to get food to the people that really need it. So I know, if you feel as I do, they're an organization worth supporting. And yes, ticket prices are pricey. This is, you know, the one event that they do where they really do call out to people who do have the means to purchase a ticket. I believe the tickets are $175 regular. The VIP tickets, I think, are $300. The event starts from 6 to 7. There's a VIP reception. It's a wine tasting reception. And then at 7, it opens up to all the other ticket holders and goes till 10 o'clock. And it has every high-end, sustainable, green, cool restaurant in New York there represented. And so it's really a great happening. I'll be there, and I look forward to seeing some of you there. So that's Just Food. You can go to their website for more information, justfood.org. Okay. Also, Slow Food Huntington, which you know I'm co-chair of the local chapter on Long Island. We are supporting Slow Food USA in joining a movement to challenge the value meal. So often people, you know, think slow food might be elitist or, you know, it just goes for expensive food. And we are out to show people that you can actually put together a healthy, sustainable, value meal for under $5 a person easily. They're actually asking us to try to even do it for $3 a person, and the $2 extra will be, you know, fundraiser for our chapter. But it's $5 a person. Slow Food members will be cooking together at my house, in my kitchen, and then we're going to just celebrate local food. So if you are available on September 18th, starting at 6 o'clock, we will be having the Slow Food $5 Challenge Day. There is also NOFA New York, National Organization of, NOFA, National Organization of Farming.
No, Northeast Organization.
Northeast Organization. anyway, NOFA New York. They are having their
Organic Farming Association.
Farming Association. Thank you. Senior moment. They are having their Locavore Challenge for the entire month of September. So if you go to the website of NOFA New York, you can register for participating in the Locavore Challenge. And then it's going to culminate on September 25th. We're going to have an event at a Crossroads Farm at Grossman's in Malvern, New York. It's a organic farm that has been taken over by the county. It was, you know, at risk of being developed, and it was saved. And so it's a great organic farm out there. We're going to have an event. We're partnering with Slow Food Huntington and Food and Water Watch, and they're going to be there as well. Talking to us about the Farm Bill, what we like to refer to as the Food and Farm Bill, and talk about how that Farm Bill is actually going to impact all of us and what we can do to try to help our legislators make the right decision when they get to vote on the food bill. So that is happening on September 25th at Crossroads Farm at Grossman's. And what else is going on? I told you about my cooking class. Oh, the 169th Annual Long Island Fair will be happening at Old Bethpage Village. And Old Bethpage Village, you know, is an old, it's kind of like Williamsburg, Virginia. It's an old, historic village. Everyone's in their traditional garb, and, you know, there's ironsmithers and, you know, people churning butter and, you know, everyone dressed up like a pilgrim, and it's, you know, a cool little place. But they have every year a celebration of agriculture on Long Island. And so this year it's from September 22nd through the 25th, and that's in Old Bethpage. There's going to be lots of workshops going on, lots of children crafts. It should be a really fun day, as well as a farmer's market going on every day there. So come on down to the Long Island Annual Fair and join us for that. Lots more going on. Check out my website. You'll get more. But I don't want to take any more time right now. I want to go on to my recipe. And my recipe today was inspired by looking at all the tomatoes I had harvested, both before the hurricane and after the hurricane, that were going to go bad. And there was just so many, and I just didn't have the time or energy to really start canning this morning. So I just cooked them all up and put them all into a quiche, and I figured I'd just stick the quiches in the freezer and call it a day. But what I did do is I had a lot of fun. I cooked all the tomatoes up with garlic and white wine. I figured that goes good with every quiche that I was going to make. And then I made prepared other fillings. I had spinach in the house, so I did one quiche with spinach. I had mushrooms, both portobello and white mushrooms. I cooked those up. I also had some peppers. I had some potatoes. And so I just made a bunch of different fillings and then mixed them together. So one quiche was spinach with dill and onions and goat cheese and, of course, the tomatoes. And my tomatoes are every color, red, orange, yellow. I left the green ones for the green gazpacho I'm going to make. So there were no green ones in there, but we had the red, yellow, and orange. And the colors are just beautiful. So on top of that crust, before I put the filling in, I put a balsamic glaze over the crust just to enhance some of the flavor. And I also used goat's cheese as the cheese with this dish. So you cook up the fillings, and the basic quiche filling that I use one quiche filling's recipe worth, and I divide it between two quiches because most of my quiche is the vegetable. And I only use a little bit of the filling to really just tie it all together, to hold it together. So one recipe's worth of this custard for the quiche, I get two quiches out of. And it's three eggs, 2 cups of either half and half or whole milk, a half a teaspoon salt, a quarter teaspoon white pepper, a dash of nutmeg, and that's it. And then for each of the quiches, depending on what fillings I was putting in, would depend on what herb I used. So for the spinach and goat cheese, I put in some dill. All of them have parsley. In with this custard, I put in a bunch of parsley. Oh, I don't know, probably at least 3 tablespoons worth of chopped parsley. So I used dill for that one. Then another one where I had the portobello mushrooms, on top of that quiche crust, I put mustard. And that enhances the flavor. Sometimes I've put honey-cut mustard. Today I just used, you know, a Dijon German mustard. And I put that on top of the quiche crust. And then I sautéed the mushrooms with garlic and some white wine. And once those are soft, I then drain the extra liquid out. I really just want the vegetables. So I mix the mushrooms with some sautéed onions and the tomatoes. And that was another quiche. Then I had another one where I cooked up some russet potatoes, and I did that with some mushrooms and some rosemary, and of course the tomatoes and some onions. And then I did, actually this was a mistake that I made correct, that I corrected and made, delicious. I thought I was putting parsley in with a batch of tomatoes, and when I tasted it, it was actually cilantro. So I decided I'd make a couple of Mexican quiches. So I had 2 quiches where I put some refried beans on the bottom with some salsa and some cheddar cheese, and then I put in the tomatoes with onions and a lot of cilantro. And that was another quiche. So I had the Mexican quiche. And so all in all, I made 7 quiches this morning. I used up all the tomatoes that needed to be used up. I had a lot of fun. And when I bake the quiche, I start the oven at 425 for 15 minutes. Then I turn it down to 375 and cook it for another half an hour. And that's it. You know, just be careful, you know, turn the quiches around if they're close to the back of the oven. You know, one side of the crust starts to get browner than the other. Just turn it around. And that is it. One thing about splitting the filling or the custard between two quiches, you rarely have the overflow where it spills into the oven, which is kind of nice. And that is it. The recipes will be up tomorrow on the Progressive Radio Network, so check back on their website and you can get the quiches. And now I would like to introduce my guest, Andrea Beeman, who is a natural food chef. She's an author of three books now. Is this your latest book? Health is Wealth, Make a Delicious Investment in You. Beautiful picture of her right on the cover.
At Union Square Market.
At the Union Square Market, glowing, smiling. And she's dedicated to alternative healing through her cooking and sustainable living. She was a contestant on Bravo's hit reality TV show. And is a food and health expert. She's been brought on to CBS News and has appeared on Barbara Walters, The View, Emerald Live, and Whole Living on Martha Stewart Radio. Andrea hosts the award-nominated... That's wrong. A cooking show that educates guests and viewers how to cook for and cure bodily ailments, successfully healing her own incurable thyroid disease with health-promoting foods. Exercise and natural therapies was a catalyst that transformed Andrea's life, health, and profession. She is passionate about sharing this information with others. So, Andrea, I'm, you know, so interested, especially in the thyroid thing, because I, you know, struggle with that myself. But what did you do? Just out of curiosity, what did you do before you discovered your passion for cooking?
Well, before I discovered my passion for cooking, I was working for MTV and VH1 at MTV Networks. I had a really great job. I initially had wanted to be a radio disc jockey. I wanted to spin rock and roll. That's how I got into that media. And I loved my job at MTV. But after I healed my condition, I felt that there was a higher calling.
Right.
You know, that I had to teach people. Because I'd leave the job, the MTV Network's job, at the end of the day, and I felt empty.
Mm-hmm.
That there was something missing from my life. And when I healed my condition, I found what was missing.
Right.
Because I have to teach people.
Right. Well, I was diagnosed with hypothyroid over 10 years ago. And at first they put me on Synthroid, you know, synthetic thyroid. And then, you know, it wasn't regulating. So they wanted to give me something else, you know, a T3, T4. Anyways, a chiropractor, acupuncturist I was seeing said you should go on Armathyroid, that was better. But many different people that I saw who are natural doctors supported going on to the Armathyroid and said that, you know, the thyroid, you couldn't really heal with food. Because I certainly, that was my first thought, and I didn't see any books on it. And so I'm really curious. How did you do it?
Well, I mean, there's a lot of ways that I did it. But first and foremost, I want to say that as long as you're alive and breathing, you can heal any condition. You know, like, it's just, this is the new condition of the moment, you know, heart disease in the 60s and the 70s and the 80s, you know, and breast cancer was, huge in the 80s and the 90s, and now we have this wave of thyroid disease across the country.
Did you see the movie Forks Over Knives, by the way?
No.
Really good movie. That's also about food as healing. Like, these are cancer doctors who gave up doing the whole chemo thing and really focused on putting their patients on diets.
Oh, good.
And it's amazing.
Yeah,
I recommend that movie to anybody who's struggling with cancer and wants to really use food as a healing.
Yeah, chemotherapy and radiation are poison. They're poison for the body.
Right.
You know, so my thinking is we can't poison the body if you actually want to heal it. You have to assist it in the healing process. So when I was initially diagnosed with my thyroid disease, the doctor had recommended radioactive iodine and then Synthroid for the rest of my life. I had a goiter.
Okay, so yours was hyper.
It was hyper, and I had all of the conditions, all of the symptoms of hypo. I was 25 pounds heavier. I was lethargic. My nails were splitting and peeling, hair falling out, menstrual problems. So I, even though I was diagnosed as hyper, I had every condition for hypo. So the doctor had recommended radioactive iodine and Synthroid. But years prior, I had watched my mother go through breast cancer treatment, radical mastectomy, radiation, chemotherapy, and at that time, watching her get poisoned, literally, and watching her body's reaction. You know, she went from like a vibrant, beautiful person to this emaciated 90 pound. I mean, by the time she died, she was about 78 pounds because she couldn't keep anything in her body. And at that time, I said to myself, wow, if I ever get diagnosed with anything, I'm going to try natural methods or food first before putting any type of poison or destroying my body in any way.
Mm-hmm.
Intuitively, that just seemed like the right thing to do. So when my thyroid disease came and I'm sitting on the table and the doctor's like, okay, you have to take the radioactive iodine and Synthroid. And I was like, no thanks. I said, I'm going to try and do something natural first and I'll be back. And I did. I radically altered my diet. I got off. I was a chronic dieter my whole life. Low fat, non-fat, no fat, fat-free, chemical sweeteners, Diet Pepsi, aspartame, NutraSweet, Jenny Craig in a box. You know, Weight Watchers. I was like a crazy chronic diet pills, Dexatrim. I remember taking Dexatrim throughout high school.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just obsessed with weight and not giving my body actual nutrition. So when I improved my diet, an interesting thing happened. I got off all the crap food, packaged food, junk, mm-hmm. chemicals, and I started to put in food, like real food.
Mm-hmm.
You know, which is foreign to most Americans.
Right.
We don't know what real food looks like. And it was like whole grains and beans and vegetables and sea vegetables and fruit, nuts and seeds and fish. And I took out all the dairy products and all the, you know, all the other junk that I was eating. And within 4 months without dieting, I lost about 18 pounds. So I was no longer focused on weight. I was now focused on healing. And I went back to the doctor, and the doctor said, well, yeah, your thyroid has changed, but it's still not normal, so you have to take the medication. And I said, no. I said, intuitively, this feels like it's working, so I'm going to pass on the medication, and I'm going to continue doing what I'm doing. So for the next 2 years, every time that I went back to a doctor, and I kept changing doctors, I went to about 4 different doctors. Every time they diagnosed me with a different thyroid disease, it was hyperthyroid, then it was Hashimoto's thyroiditis, then it was hypothyroid. You know, it was just crazy. It was all over the place. And every time they recommended medication. And
doctors will never say they don't really know.
Right.
Right? Each one knows.
Yeah, this is your condition. This
right.
is what you have to do.
Right.
They're experimenting on us. You know,
mm-hmm.
they're practicing medicine. Practicing. And so after 2 years, then my thyroid became normal. Right? So, you know, I'm a firm believer that what we eat becomes our body. So my lifetime of non-nutritional foods set me up for failure. It set my body up for exhaustion, set my endocrine system up for disaster. You know, our environment is littered with endocrine disruptors, from the pesticides in the food to the BPA in the cans, you know, and in the
yeah.
bottled water. You know, we're drinking bottled water like crazy. It's, you know, we have all this stuff all over the place. And it doesn't just pass right through us. That's a myth. If food and drink were to pass right through us, it would look exactly the same on the way out. And we all know that it doesn't look like that on the way out. It goes in looking like something. It comes out looking like something completely different.
Right.
And if it doesn't, you're in a whole lot of trouble. So our food is absorbed by our body and becomes us. So if we're eating endocrine disruptors, they will disrupt our endocrine system. If we're eating chemicals and pesticides, we're in a whole lot of trouble. The chemicals and the pesticides are designed to kill the bugs.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they do. They
and
kill
that's what
us.
People don't realize, and I, you know, every time I tell somebody, they're like, really? I mean, they don't realize genetically modified doesn't mean that they just take two plants that are better and put mm. them together. They're genetically modifying the pesticide right
That's
into
exactly
the
right.
gene of the plant.
Yeah.
So when that corn or soybean grows, which corn and soybean, as we all know who know about ingredients, is in everything.
Oh, yeah.
You know, renamed, but it's every dextrose, maltose, whatever. That pesticide is in the food, and then it is attacking our digestive system.
Oh, yeah.
It's in the lining of all of our intestines and, you know, the pesticide. And people don't realize that. They think genetically modified means that we're getting a higher quality hybrid of the tomato or whatever. And it's not.
It's not. Not only that, but the genetic modification of foods, a lot of times they're crossing species barriers, which doesn't happen in nature, ever. You don't have a flounder and a tomato crossing, right, with each other. So this is, it's like the antithesis of anything natural. And it's like the island of Dr. Moreau, you know.
Well, they're now, you know, they're feeding farm-raised fish chicken.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Right? I mean, fish don't eat chicken.
Exactly. And look what happened with mad cow, right? Feeding cow or
rodents
to cow.
Right.
Right. So we're like, we're crazy. Well, I think we've lost our minds. We've gotten so far away from what we're supposed to eat and how we're supposed to be, you know, like keepers of the planet. You know, this is our planet.
And well, you know, when you say that, I know this is jumping around, but Bill McKibben had said, you know, here we're called radicals because we're there protesting in Washington. They're calling us radicals. Yet these people who want to change the whole chemical makeup, the greenhouse, you know, the CO2 in the environment, they're not radical.
No.
They want to change the whole makeup of our environment. They want to, you know, warm up the oceans and change the, you know, the ice peaks. I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah.
And they're not radicals. They're normal. They're just, you know, business as usual, and they're not radical. But us, standing up for the environment, were the radical ones.
Oh, yeah. You know what's interesting? I was just reading Chief Seattle's speech from, like, 1854, I think it was. And he had said to his
Chief
people,
Seattle is...
he's American
Chief
Indian.
American.
Yeah, he was... this was one of... When they wanted to put the Indians onto reservations. And they, you know, they offered... The American government offered to buy the land out from under the Indians. And Chief Seattle, he said to his people, and he sent, you know, the... He said, you know, this chief of America, or the chief... Their chief says that they're going to take care of the environment. They're going to take care of everything. And I just want to tell him... that he has to teach his children. If we give them the land, they have to teach their children that whatever they do to the beasts, they do to themselves. Whatever they do to the streams, they do to themselves. And if we spit on the earth, we spit on ourselves. You know, it was like, here, okay, we know we're lost here. We know we're seeing the end of what we are on this this land. But I'm asking you to teach your children to take care of the earth, take care of this land that is the land of our ancestors. And we've completely spit on the earth. You look around.
And this Keystone Pipeline, of course,
oh,
goes
God.
Right through the Indian reservations.
Oh.
You know? I mean, you know, not a coincidence.
No, it's crazy. It's really... We don't even think about that stuff. We don't even think, well, you know, if I poison the environment, if I pollute the environment, then I'm polluting myself. We have completely removed ourselves from the environment. Completely removed that. We're not even connected to it anymore, which is the craziest thing.
Right. Well, that's why so many, you know, the people are really talking about nature deprivation,
yeah,
you know, in our children. You know, I know that I still played outside when I was younger. And I know... I value that, and I go outside, and not often enough. I still get locked at the computer way more than I'd like to. But I know how important nature is, and I think a lot of the young people growing up today have no clue. That's why Birthright Earth, this organization, I had somebody on the radio show from there, Birthright Earth, the same way Birthright Israel is sending, you know, young people to Israel to feel a connection to Israel, Birthright Earth sends them down to the rainforest.
Oh, wow.
To try to give them a connection to the rainforest, because their feeling is if you see it, you'll want to save it.
Mm.
And that's a hope. But, you know, I don't understand how so many people just don't care. You know, how people put making money ahead of something as big as everybody's life,
right,
and the planet. Doesn't make sense.
Right.
So short-sighted.
So short-sighted, because let's say all of the rivers get polluted. Let's say all of the forests are gone. We can't eat our money. We
right.
can't. We can't breathe money. You know, if we pollute all the air, we completely destroy the environment for money. You know, we can't sustain ourselves.
Right.
It's not going
right.
to happen.
And even if we're growing organic, I know I am. But I know my neighbor. Actually, thank God, my big neighbor on one side, is as organic as me. But the other side, they're spraying.
Yeah.
You know, they're spraying their trees. They're spraying their, you know, their lawn. And, you know, I've been taking a class on nutrient-dense crop production. And he talked about, you know, you put a chemical in the 1 acre, and it was picked up a couple acres away in real time, immediately. Like the fungi underneath the soil that we don't even see just goes right out there and contaminates. So that even though my garden is organic and I've never put anything down chemical on my garden, I can't say what's not coming through that underground web of fungi into my garden.
Well, you know, the earth is a living, breathing, eating creature, just like we are.
Right.
So anything you put onto the soil is going to be felt all around the entire earth. Anything you put into the water is going to be felt all around the entire earth.
Right. So I want to go back to
thyroid.
Thyroid. How you did it.
Millions and millions of people are suffering with thyroid disease. And we were talking about some of the reasons, and one of them was pesticides, which you just covered. Another reason is that the chemical sweeteners, if anybody's eating them, stop. Do not put aspartame into your body. Don't do it. Also, our salt has been compromised. Don't eat table salt. Sodium chloride is just literally like poison. We need real sea salt. We need real salt that's harvested, that has all of its minerals.
With the iodine, don't you think?
Totally.
With the iodine, yeah.
Totally. And our iodine has been compromised because we have so many other ides, bromide, all of the other ides have it, that are compromising our ability to uptake iodine. So we have bromide, which is in water. It's used like chlorine, chloride, used to clean water, as is the bromide. You go into anybody's pool, they have a backyard pool, they have those cleansing agents. I would suggest that anybody who has a thyroid problem, don't go into a chlorinated pool ever.
We have a salt. We clean our pool water with salt.
With salt, excellent.
Yeah.
Chlorine and chloride and all of those ides affect our thyroid because they compete with iodine. They have the same receptors in the body. So if we're overloaded with bromide and chloride and all this stuff, then iodide isn't on the uptake. So all of our water, our entire water supply, guess what is the ide? Fluoride.
Right.
Yes.
I had someone from Fluoride Action Network on my show, too. I mean,
it's
we got to get it out of the water.
It's poison. We double filter our water because there's so much poison in our water, it's unbelievable. So if you have fluoride in the water and in the toothpaste, and
it's one thing having it in toothpaste that you do, you know, that you don't swallow and that you spit out, and, you know, and it's topical. Okay. You know, but the fluoride in your water, no.
No.
And it's amazing how they just sign right up and they do it.
Yeah. There are many European countries that have banned fluoridation, and I don't know why we haven't. You know, there are too many studies out now that show that fluoride does not prevent cavities.
I moved somewhere when my kids were born that they did not have fluoride in the water, and my pediatrician wanted me to give them fluoride tablets.
Wow.
I was like, no,
yeah.
You know, I wouldn't do that. And I didn't want to live somewhere where it had fluoride in the water.
Yeah.
And now, in hindsight, thank God. You know,
yeah.
I didn't know then what I know now, and I'm so glad. Anyway, we're going to take a couple-minute break and come right back and talk more about the thyroid and all the other stuff you're involved with. Thanks. Hi, everybody, and welcome back. You're listening to Bhavani at IE Green on the Progressive Radio Network. And I'm in the studio with Andrea Beeman, who's a natural food chef and has healed herself of thyroid disease and teaches people how to heal themselves with their food. And we've been having a really great discussion of how she did it with her thyroid. And I am very interested in that because it is something that I also struggle with. So, Andrea, what did you do next? You were telling us how you really started listening and changing what you were eating, and you went to four different doctors, and they led you on, you know, they kind of were encouraging you to go one way, and you chose to go the other way. So
right.
How long did it take before they said your thyroid was normal?
It took 2 years. It took 2 years before my thyroid balanced. And then, I guess it was like a year after that, or maybe two years after that, I had gone completely vegan. And I was in my early 30s. Maybe I was 31 or 32. I'd gone completely vegan, and I felt fantastic for like a year. Woohoo! I felt like I was going straight to heaven. And then all of a sudden, I started to feel very weak. Because I wasn't a junk food vegan. I was, you know, rice and beans and vegetables. And,
oh, sure.
Yeah. And for me, I started to feel deficiencies. My immune system started crashing again. I started to get frequent colds and flus, extreme fatigue, like a chronic fatigue, adrenal fatigue. And my muscles hurt when I would walk up the stairs. Like they just felt like they were eating themselves.
And you're only 30?
I was 32.
Mm-hmm.
And so I said, something's not right. You know, something's not right. So I'd sit in meditation, and I'd be like, you know, well, what's going on here? I need guidance. Thank you for guidance. And the thing that kept coming to me was eat meat. And I was anti-meat for me. And I was like, no way, I can't do it. And my sister, you know, she's like, okay, you gotta start to do something. Eat some bones, you know, put some soup stock on, something. So I did. I started to incorporate some animal proteins and fats back into my system, and then I started to feel stronger. You know, I certainly don't eat what the average American eats, but I do eat grass-fed, and I eat fats, and that's another thing for thyroid. It's essential that we have fat, because all of our hormones are made from cholesterol. So if I'm not eating fat, or I'm fat-free, or, you know, just neglecting that important part, you know, like all of our minerals are absorbed from fat.
Well, I remember kids when I was in high school, you know, girls that would really go on these strict diets and not eat any fat or carbs, they wouldn't get their periods.
That's exactly right.
You know, you need fat.
Yeah.
You know, it was just amazing. It was like clockwork, you know.
Yeah, totally.
You know, go to the doctor, you're not having your period, and it's like, when's the last time you ate, you know,
yeah,
bread or, you know, avocado or oil?
Totally. So for me, I needed the animal proteins and the fats for my system. It worked well. You know, now it's just a balancing act. It really is.
The thyroid didn't come back.
The thyroid actually came back when I was 37 years old or 38 years old. I had gone off to do Top Chef. And I don't know if you know regular chefs, but they can drink and party till the cows come home. And so I'd spent the next year hanging out with the chefs. Like we filmed it in 3 weeks. But then after that, I was, you know, every week out with the chefs and partying and drinking and picking up habits that I hadn't done in years. I was drinking, I was smoking cigarettes, you know, I was eating tons of sugar and flour products, and boom, like 8 months later, I was laid up in bed, and my I couldn't speak. I lost my voice for the first time in years. And I go to the doctor, and the doctor's like, you know, you have thyroid disease. You have hypothyroidism. You have to take medication. You're older now. You know, you can't heal this condition. And I said, no, I know what I need to do. I need mm-hmm. to take out the junk and the sugar and the caffeine and all the stimulants and the smoking and all that stuff and start back on healing my thyroid using iodine-rich foods. You know, I'd start my day with, like, a miso soup with salmon in it. That was really nourishing for me. You know, I got off all the caffeine again. I was doing probably, like, 4 or 5 cups of green tea. Oh, it's green tea. It's good to me. Good for me, right? Yeah, not 4 or 5 cups with a big blob of honey in it.
Right.
It took about less than 30 days for my thyroid to show that it was normal again. So the first time that my thyroid went out, it was from 28 years of abuse. And the second time that my thyroid went out, it was from 8 months of abuse. So mm-hmm. I'm a firm believer, you know, because it didn't just happen once. You know, mm-hmm. it was directly related to my behavior patterns and what I was putting into my system. So for many people, the thyroid may be underdeveloped or weak because of something that happened in utero or because of something that happened right out of the womb. And this is one of the things that really makes me angry, is that there's an entire generation still to this day, people, in the 60s and the 70s, where doctors were telling women, do not breastfeed your children.
Right,
use this soy formula because it's better. Use this formula. This is better for you.
And back then, though, at least it wasn't genetically modified. Now it's not just soy, it's genetically modified.
Oh, yeah. So that first soy going into the body, soy that is not fermented, is an endocrine disruptor. It is it contains goitrogens, which stop the thyroid from functioning. So all of that entire generation, and to this day, people having non-fermented soy products or improperly processed soy products.
So let's just talk. Fermented means fermented. Soy products would be tempeh, would be tamari is okay,
miso shoyu,
right.
Natto.
But you recommend limiting tofu.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's not a fermented
and
soy.
And soy milk, goodbye.
Right.
Goodbye,
mm-hmm.
Once or twice a year. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And also, you have to keep in mind that soy
I love tofu,
infiltrated.
I got to say. That would be really hard for me. You know, I use a lot of soy. Of course, I put miso on it, and I put tamari on it.
Right.
But, you know, I do use soy as a source of protein. I wouldn't say every day, but a couple times a week.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, maybe for you, a little less soy and a little more quiche.
Mm-hmm. A little more quiche. I don't think so. I'd blow up like a cow. But occasionally. But you know what? One thing that I have found for myself also as I've gotten older and listened to my intuition, there is so many contradicting theories. And people are so at their wits' end as to what to do. You know, soy is bad for this, and it's bad for the hormones, and it causes breast cancer. But then, you know, but meanwhile, they're eating chicken that's, you know, has hormones and antibiotics in it. It's like, it's all a balancing act. So if you just get the highest quality of everything that you're eating,
yeah,
and don't make any one food your food. Try to eat a balanced, like, you know, rotate the foods that you eat so not eating too much of any one thing other than lots of, you know, leafy greens. I don't think you can. I think it's hard to overdo that.
Well, actually, sometimes you can overdo leafy greens. You know,
you can overdo carrots. One girlfriend of mine in high school turned orange.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. You get, you know, everything in moderation.
Right.
You know, you can overdo anything. So we have to look at the environment, see what she provides for us, because the earth will provide for us everything that we need in season to where we are located. So, for example, people that are going crazy with the coconuts and the coconut water and, you know, got to have your coconuts, rich in potassium. Great. But there has to be a balance between sodium and potassium. Not only that, but those coconuts that are grown in the tropics have to be shipped up here. You want to talk about damaging the environment? So we have all these people saying, oh, I'm good for the environment. They're going crazy with coconuts. To get a coconut to New York from Costa Rica or wherever it's growing, you're talking thousands of miles of food and fuel, you know, fossil fuel that's being spent in the process. And that coconut with that high potassium is extremely cooling to the body. It is perfect for the tropics. Perfect food. You bring it up here and you start having the coconuts in the middle of wintertime, in January and February, it puts our body completely off balance. Completely off balance. So there's so many things that we think are healthy that could be damaging us. So what is the earth providing? So I live in New York and you live in New York. So in the wintertime, the earth is providing not coconuts and certainly not mangoes. It's providing possibly pears and apples throughout the winter, you know, like they harvested in maybe November, and they can keep squashes, cabbages, Brussels sprouts, roots, traditional food for wintertime, parsnips, carrots, all that stuff, potatoes.
Burdock.
Totally, burdock.
Yeah.
All of those heartier foods.
Right.
So the idea, like
warming
when I was,
foods.
Totally.
Right.
You know, this is when stocks come in, soups, casseroles, really hearty, warming foods. So if we continue to eat the cooling foods in the middle of wintertime, it throws our body off balance.
Mm-hmm.
Completely throws the body off balance. It could be the healthiest food in the world, right? It could be, great, I'm having a mesclun green salad, you know, or with watermelon. And then you eat that and you go outside into 4-degree weather and your body's going, what the heck? I am freezing right now.
Mm-hmm.
And it.
Whereas if you had a bowl of chili,
yes,
you'd
totally.
Be warm. Right.
You'd be warm.
Right.
You'd have the sustaining energy that you need.
Mm-hmm.
So we really have to go back to the earth, back to the mother. What is she providing for us? What's available to me? On a day like today in New York, great. Salad, fish, you know, cooling, really cooling stuff.
Light food.
Light food.
Lighter food.
Totally. Middle of summertime, light food, peach, right off the tree,
mm-hmm.
you know. I wouldn't even contemplate a peach in December unless
Never.
It was baked into a pie with extra butter.
Or unless I was
salt.
Or unless I was in a different place
yeah,
on
totally.
Vacation where they grow.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you were talking about all of the events that are going on this month for locavorism. And I'm a just food advocate. And I totally believe in
locavorism. Are
locavore.
You going to be there?
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah, and I promote them all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I do stuff with them all the time. You know, I really believe in that, not only for the impact that it has on the environment and how helpful it is to us and the environment, but for the impact it has on our physical body when we eat the food that grows within our environment.
Mm-hmm.
It's the best thing that we can do, and it's not a new concept.
Right.
This is an age-old concept, but I think it needs to be revisited.
Mm-hmm.
It really right. does. If we want to regain our health and reclaim our vibrancy, we have to get in line with the environment and what she's providing.
I think you're so right on with that. And, you know, and yet at the same time, it's difficult. That means, do we never have a banana? You know, I mean, bananas are not growing in New York. And so, you know, have an occasional banana.
Totally. Occasional coconut water, totally.
Right. But you just, what you're saying is you don't want to make those your everyday foods.
Absolutely.
You know, the things that you're eating with all the time. Wow. So what are you doing now?
Oh, so much stuff. I am the keynote speaker at the Gaia's Women's Wellness Conference on September 24th out in Long Island. That's on my website, www.andreabeeman.com. And this is a gathering of women. You know, women, inspiring women, educating women, and it's called Gaia, which is Earth Goddess. I'm also doing an event next week, September 10th, with Patricia Moreno for Intensati, and that'll be down at Equinox. Just talking about the information that's in my book, which is, you know, how to get food into their body, how to get it so that they're not spending millions of dollars. It's like you said earlier, it's just an idea that they think, oh, I'm buying local, organic, it's expensive. No, there's ways to make it completely affordable. You know, so I'm teaching a class on that. And just, you know, doing fun stuff all over the place. Like I'll be at the Just Food event, Just Eat Local, and I think we're doing some stuff with, what's that other... the other stuff we're doing. Oh, we're doing so much stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I lose track of all the stuff we do. You know, but always fun. I try to make learning about food and health fun, because nobody wants to hear another boring lecture about how many vitamins and minerals they need, you know, and take this for that. No, just start to eat. Start to eat.
Real food.
Totally real food. And not only that, but we need to go beyond this physical body. This physical body is just the casing that's housing my emotional body, my spiritual body. So we got to connect. You know, what's missing? You know, like with thyroid, we have to share our voice, which you're doing. You know, we have to get to our creative self. Our entire endocrine system, this is chakras. You know, they're run by our emotions. They're run by spirit. So we need to connect deeper.
Right.
The physical body is just our food. We got to go deeper.
So important for more people to do that. I was so proud. My daughter this weekend went to Kripalu for the weekend.
Oh, that's a fun
You
place.
Know, and it was just, it was her first time actually doing a workshop like that, you know, where she just went by herself, not knowing anybody, and connected with herself and had time alone. And she just came back radiant.
Mm.
And I was so proud that she recognized the need to be with herself. And I think in our society right now, you know, you talk about being connected, but most people, when they hear about being connected, they're talking about being connected through their iPhone, through their iPad, through their computer, through Facebook. Everyone's connected with each other, but not so many people are being connected with themselves.
That's right.
You know, and we have to turn it inside and become connected with ourselves. And then, and when you talked about intuition and listening, You know, so often, you know, you talk about our voice and putting ourselves out there. All of us also need to quiet down, to
That's
listen,
right.
so that we're receptive to that spirit talking to us.
Every single person on the planet has inside them everything that they need for survival here. That's how we're designed. So you're right. We have to tap in. The answers are inside. We have them.
Yeah. So cool. So yeah. great to meet somebody else that, like, shares that with me. Because, you know, as you know, we walk in this world and we're an oddity to many people. Although, I've got to say, you know, times
changing.
Are changing, right? It's changing. We're finding more and more company along our path.
Yeah.
And that's why all my listeners out there, I love you. You know, you're just, you know, we're all on this path together.
Yeah.
And to be connected, to get the energy to work towards a higher experience is what the connection, what makes the connection worth it. You know, if you're connected just so that you can deplete the earth and deplete yourself, and, you know, the connection's not worth anything. So, you know, I'm really so happy with the work that you're doing. I think you're doing great work.
Thanks. We're in the Mutual Admiration Society.
Yeah. So anyway, so what else would you want to tell us before you before we are kicked off the air here?
Anything.
Your website, how do people find out about you?
www.andreabeeman.com. There's videos, there's events, there's lots of stuff happening. Really, always a lot of fun stuff and tons of recipes.
And right now, you're cooking at the Natural Gourmet Cooking School, correct?
Yeah, I cook at the Natural Gourmet. Down at the Open Center, I teach classes. You know, anywhere that they'll give me a platform, I go.
Uh-huh. Yay. That's a woman after my own heart. Well, I would love to have you come out to my farm one time and see,
see
the garden I'm growing there and my kitchen, which could use a little work, but it is, you know, it works. So
yeah.
I'm really happy to be doing my classes there. And I actually am working now at a center for young kids, girls, an after-school program called Oh My Girls.
Mm.
And that is, we're in previews this week, and then the grand opening is the week of September 12th. And Oh My Girls is an after-school program that has yoga, Pilates, Zumba, all kinds of exercise things, as well as chat rooms for that more spiritual connection.
Mm.
And then a full cooking program. We
That's
have gluten-free
nice.
Classes, vegetarian classes, and then international cuisine. So that's a really fun thing. I'll be cooking out there
Great work.
A couple of days a week. So anyway, everybody, I want to thank you all for joining us. It's been a great Wednesday here on the Progressive Radio Network, and I look forward to being with you all next week. So have a great rest of the week, and I'll see you next week.
Yeah.